It is very good to be in church this morning, and it is very good to see each of you here. This morning, I want us to look at the title of today's sermon. As you see on the board, is Victory in Jesus. And I love that. I like to win. I love to win. I don't like to lose. And I suspect most of you are that way. People innately want to win. We want to have victory. We want to feel like we have accomplished, and we want to feel like, at least, that we're winners. A little secret, that's how they build casinos. They make you feel like you're a winner, while at the same time you're losing your money. But there is real victory. There is such a thing in our lives as being able to have real, genuine victory. And I want us this morning to look at, for a little while, what real victory means. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 58 say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God add to the reading of his scripture. As I said at the onset, I like to win. I know that you like to win. I like to feel like that what I'm doing has purpose and has accomplishment. And you know, it is just really good to look at something and recognize that you have accomplished something. Growing up, I grew up in the building industry. We built houses, and literally back then in the mid-70s to 80s, we would start with a pile of lumber, basically, and some shovels, and dig the ditches and pour the concrete foundations and do everything. And I remember what a feeling it was after the 6 weeks or so of just brutal, hard, backbreaking work. You could, when you were ready to leave, you'd look, and there was a home where there had been nothing but an empty lot. I like that feeling of accomplishment. I like to look at something and say, you know, I had a hand in that. I had a part of doing it. That is a kind of victory, and it gives us that feeling that we have accomplished. Well, I think for us to understand what it means to be a winner or to have victory, we have to ask some questions. First of all, what does winning look like? And did you ever stop and think about that? What do I consider to be victory in my life? And I know we can give the textbook answer, I want to have a home with a picket fence and two kids and a dog and this and that. What does winning really look like? What does it mean to say, I have lived a life or am living a life that is victory, that is winning? And that's what I want us to try and get to this morning. I want us to get an understanding of. The first step toward victory is vision. Unless you understand where you're going, what it is you're trying to accomplish, you're never going to actually get anything done. I read an article about General Patton when he assumed control in North Africa. He went to the headquarters, and people were running around in every direction. It was just total pandemonium and chaos. And he goes into the room where the communications person was at, and there they were asleep. And someone said, oh, just a minute, I'll wake him up. And Patton said, no, let him sleep. He's the only one here that knows what he's doing. I think sometimes you and I are that way. We're running here and we're running there, but we don't really know what we're doing. We don't really know what is the goal. What's the vision? What is the point of all of this? In Proverbs 20:19, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I think the biggest waste in life is to wander aimlessly without a vision of what God wants for you and what you should be doing. And maybe that has always been the case, but it seems to me, it kind of feels to me, when I look at our society today, there are so many people, young people, who just start out and they don't have a clue what they want to do, what they should be doing, nothing. It's just to wander aimlessly. If you ever see one of those television shows where they go in New York or practically anywhere else, a college campus, and ask basic questions, and these kids don't have a clue. They don't know. They don't know who the president is. They don't know who the vice president is. They don't know any of those things. They are wandering without any direction. What we need to do, first of all, is to get a vision of where we need to go, and more important than that, where God wants us to go. Well, you might say, how should I know? I mean, how am I going to know what God wants for me? God is huge. God is in the eternal heaven, and here I am wandering around on earth. How do I know what God wants for me? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It also says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. If you and I ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want of my life? Show me what your will is for my life. He will do so. He will show you what he wants you to do. I have friends, and I'm pretty bad this way myself. I have friends that know everything there is to know about an outdoor sport, maybe fishing. I mean, they know all about it. I have a cousin who's 87 years old and guides fishing on a lake in Tennessee every day. I mean, that is his life. He's avid. And I guarantee you, if you ask him when are the bass spawning or when is this, he can tell you immediately and where and what have you. I know people who are that way about hunting, and I used to be pretty bad that way myself. I know people who are that way about golf. We can be that way about seeking God. If you think about it, if you meditate on it, if it is something you're hungry for, if it's something you want to know, you'll figure it out. It will come to you. You will understand, where am I going and what am I doing? And that is the most important aspect of being successful. You'll never be successful until you understand where you're going. Okay, so assuming now we know where we're going, how do we get there? There are some victories that we need to look at that are victories in Jesus. These are victories that the world does not give. And the first of those is victory from the past. Repeatedly throughout the New Testament, Jesus would say, your sins are forgiven you. He told the woman caught in the very act of adultery, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Over and over and over, he told people, leave the past in the past, get up and live a new life. And the first victory we need to understand, and I think we need to fundamentally understand it, God forgives the sins of the past, and he also takes care of the things that have happened to us in the past. You know, we've all had bad things happen. If I went around the room this morning and I said, tell me the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and if we were honest, most of us would have some pretty bad stories. We would tell some things that hurt very deeply. Jesus gives us victory from those as well as the things that we've done wrong. What has happened to you in the past, the things that have hurt you, give them to God, let them be covered by the blood of Jesus, and walk away. No, run away. Leave that stuff back there and move forward, because you can't be successful today and tomorrow if you have yesterday tied around your neck and you're dragging it like a millstone. Let go of it. Leave it alone. Let it go. Move forward. Jesus gives us victory from the demons of the present. And I use the word demons intentionally. You could say addictions, you could say problems, you could say whatever, but in truth, it is demons. It is from Satan himself that sends things to you and I to keep us worried about them, to keep us from doing what we ought to do today. Cal and I, on the way over here this morning, we're talking about some people we have known that are functioning alcoholics and functioning drug addicts that seem to be okay, but in reality, they're not. In reality, there is a real serious problem that is holding them back and that's going to destroy them. I have a client, and I really like this guy. He's successful. He's made money. He's a family guy. All of the attributes that I really like. But if you call him after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, his speech will be slurred, and the next day he won't remember what you talked about. Every day, Monday, Tuesday, it makes no difference. By 3 in the afternoon, he is so intoxicated he can't talk to you clearly, and he won't remember what you talked about. People, that's not a way to live. That's not a way to conduct your life. That's not happy. That's not fun. That's not enjoyable. That is a demon that is tied around that poor man's neck, and Jesus Christ can give him victory from that demon. That's a victory. I love the passage in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." All of us have those sins that so easily beset us. I don't know what it is. You know, I can look at different people and different ones have different problems, and it's very easy for me to point to somebody else and say, "Oh, that's terrible," because that's what they do and it's not what I do. But the reality is we all have issues, every single one of us. And the point of Christianity is that Jesus Christ brings us victory over those issues, the ones in my life and the ones in your life. And that is a real and genuine victory. And Jesus brings victory from the fear and uncertainty of the future. If you watch the news, which I am learning more and more to not do, if you watch the news, you will get stressed out. It'll happen. We have a lady that goes to this church occasionally, and she called me one day and she said, "Are you still going to do my taxes? I'm conservative and this and that, and I think the FBI is after me. They're coming for me." Don't do that. Don't let Satan worry you so much that you lose the joy of being alive today. I can vote, and I will vote. I can stand up and say, "That's wrong, that's sin, that shouldn't be going on." But I can't change what's going on in Washington, D.C. any further than that. I can't go up there and, you know, hit somebody or do something to make them stop. They wouldn't let me in. I can't do anything, and neither can you. So there is no point in me stressing my life out worrying about what's going on there. I'll do what I can do. I'll live the way I know is right, and I'll let the rest of it go. Jesus Christ gives me victory from what's going to happen in the future. I look at my grandchildren, and I'll be honest, I worry about what kind of world they will face. I don't know if you saw the reports, been out, I've seen it two or three times this week. In another, I think, 30 years, trends continue as they are, Christians will be a minority in this country, officially. 20 years ago, 90% of the country said they were Christian. In another 30 years, less than half will. I worry about what's going to happen to my grandchildren. What kind of world are they going to inherit? I see what happens in school. I see what's going on with the dead. I see all of those things. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. God is still on the throne. And he will be 30 years from now. He will be 50 years from now. I don't know what will happen. But we can face tomorrow. My grandchildren can face tomorrow because Jesus is alive and God is still on the throne. And I won't let myself get to the point where I am so worried about those things that it affects my life. You can spend your life denying what will happen in the future. You can spend your life worried about what will happen tomorrow. Or you can live your life with a faith that no matter what happens, we have a Savior that will take care of us. Apostle Paul said, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know my Savior, and I am persuaded, whether you are or not, that he can keep what we have. He can keep my soul. He can keep my grandchildren and generations to come. And maybe the most important, Jesus gives victory over death. Think about that again for just a moment. Jesus Christ gives us victory even over death. Romans 1:16, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Whatever happens, I know that eventually my time on this life will end, in this world will end, and I will move on. But I also know that my Savior gives me victory over even the grave. Never give up. The worst thing I think that can happen to people is if they give up. If we just say, "I can't do anything, I give up, I can't." Never give up. Winston Churchill, you know the address, I'm sure you've all heard it, famously said in a speech when it appeared that the Nazis were going to completely overrun England, he said, "We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender." God is looking for a people who will never surrender. And I mean never surrender. If you have a child that is unsaved, never give up. Never surrender that child. If you have a brother or a sister that is lost, never give up. Never surrender. If you have a spouse, if you have problems in your life, never give up. Leave the sins of the past in the past. Don't worry about today. Let God take care of the demons and keep reaching out with every fiber of your being to reach those people that are lost. Till the last breath. I know you have all seen the examples of mass shootings, and we all get concerned about those things. And I thought one day, you know, I read this guy talking about those, and he said, I only have two requests if my name ends up on a victim list. I just pray that I have the courage to stand up and fight, that I not die cowering under a bench begging a maniac for my life. And number two, I hope somewhere in the police report it says it was one unforgettable fight. People, for Christians, we ought to be that way. I pray that in my life, in dealing with the people I deal with, in dealing with family, that I never give up and that I have the courage to stand up and face every day the sin, the evil, the bad things in this world, that I not cower in fear, and that someday when I stand before God, He will say, that was an awesome fight you put up. With those things, I'm happy. When we leave this world with the last breath, Jesus Christ will meet us. When Stephen was being stoned, as the stones were literally falling on him and crushing the life out, he looked up and said, I see heaven opened, and behold, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I would hope, I would pray that in my life I can fight, I can work, I can do everything possible until the last moment when I can look up and see Jesus Christ Himself saying, welcome home. Then go before the throne of the God of the universe boldly and say, this is my life and I'm not ashamed of it. We can have that. That is real victory. That is really accomplishing something. You and I can have that, and we can share it with people. Please stand as our musicians come.